Celebrate the next 100 years of engineering excellence at the GMC Summer Event. Check out the legendary 09 Sierra 1500 or the 8-passenger Acadia. Visit GMCDealer.com. Take delivery by 7/31/09. See dealer for details.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendrick.
At no point did anyone ever suggest to me that we were going to get some deal.
I know Jimmy. I've known him for more than 11 years. But the Cambridge Police Center.
The officers that the first responding officers that were there at the scene, are they unconscious?
First, some straight talk for some
could cause cancer.
The levels on these things, bud, huh? Back from vacation, man. I can't hear nothing here. 877-876-PHIL is our number. And we're broadcasting from the El Pacifico tonight like we do each and every night. And we're back, baby, live here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The only news, talk, and entertainment show in the history of the world that knows what it's talking about. Tonight we got some interesting stories for you. Rick Sanchez, apparently his numbers are high enough now he's beating the Golf Channel.
Yeah, he beat a replay on a puppy bowl and everything.
Isn't that great? So Sanchez beat the puppy bowl, and he was all over Twitter this weekend, and it was obscene, to be honest with you. He had his window open, no pants on, and he was making love to himself over I don't know what, man. Suddenly he thinks, look, Rick, I know you, man. You're a good man, as I said during our uncensored pre-show, but you're a mess, dude. I mean, when you go to news anchor school, the first thing they do, and you know this, they clip your testicles off, so you have no opinions about anything, man. You're doing a glorified, I don't know what you're doing, but you're okay, Rick. You're okay. Just zip up, will you? Just zip up. All right, anyway, welcome to our program this evening, and there are a number of things to talk about. One of them, a woman ate a baby in San Antonio. I don't want to make a joke out of this, but how can you not?
Yeah, well, the whole reason is on account of the cannibalizations.
Thank you very much, bud.
Well, that's why we're doing it. Hey, man, get out of here.
Take him out of here, will you? 877-87, yeah, it was a horrible story, just horrible. Just one we're going to have to talk to Dr. Mike Stone about because it's pretty wicked. And Obama opening his big bazoo about this situation in Cambridge, Boston, I should say, the suburb of Cambridge, is really what I wanted to lead the show off with tonight. But I wouldn't be doing a good show if I didn't tell you where I was over the past week. I was doing a little bit of business. I went out to the desert. I did a lot of, a lot of different stuff that I don't want to talk about because, it entails...
You're hanging out with Rick Sanchez.
Yeah, I was hanging out with Rick Sanchez. And so I don't want to say anything about it. But it was... I had a good time. I actually went into Hollywood, California, which is, where I live in the Los Angeles area. And I went down there because a friend was visiting from out of town. Bunny Fabouche was in from out of town. And Bunny wanted to go down to Hollywood. And so we did, and I'd forgotten how marvelous it is down there. As you wander along the sidewalk, and you're seeing names like Ryan Seacrest and the Stars, and other big names like that.
The Puppy Bowl there too.
Yeah, they put the Puppy Bowl on a star now. In the we got out of here with a Puppy Bowl, so we did that. And then I went into Musso and Frank's, had a great steak, and then I said, "Well, God, I gotta get out of here, man." So we finally got out of Hollywood, and I was trying to make my way home, and then all this traffic was pouring out of the Hollywood Bowl, and I couldn't get the hell out of there. And I got home, got on Twitter, and I immediately went to Perez Hilton's page because I knew he knew what was up. And it's true, Perez was there. It was a Jewel concert, and they had 15 million buses parked, and nobody could get any place. So that's the last time I ever go right into the bowels of Los Angeles. I don't mind the exterior. I don't mind going just kind of around it, the waistline. But going right down into the guts of Turista Hollywood. And all of you cats that are standing out there, what is with the Spider-Man costumes, man? That's been going on for years. Years and years and years. There's always one guy on Hollywood Boulevard in a Spider-Man costume or a Superman costume.
Might have been Rick Sanchez.
It was. It was Rick Sanchez, and he was going up and down the street saying, "Did you guys see my ratings?" All right, our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Now let's get into this Massachusetts cop thing, because once again, I got to explain stuff around here. Number one. Yeah, I know there might have been a big misunderstanding. I understand that. But can I bring a personal story into this? Once upon a time...
Were you black?
Will you shut up, man? Things are done, okay? Once upon a time, I knew my girlfriend was black, and she was driving the radio station van that she worked for, and she got pulled over. And why was she pulled over? Because someone saw a black person driving a van in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and they thought, well, it's got to be stolen. So when she got back, I said, that's outrageous. That's, you know, I fumed about the house I was, and she said, well, don't worry about it. I said, what do you mean don't worry about it? She said, that happens all the time. I remember the great jazz trumpet player Miles Davis. Anybody know Miles Davis? Miles Davis moved to Malibu, California. The first thing he did, one of the first things Miles Davis did, this is anecdotal, I don't know if this is true or not, but it sounds smart, and it doesn't sound like anything he wouldn't do. One of the first things he did after he moved to Malibu is he went down to the L.A. County Sheriff's substation in Malibu, and he said, hello. And they said, hello. He said, my name is Miles Davis. As you can see, I'm black. Here's my driver's license. Here's my address. That's my car out there in the parking lot. And I want you guys to know that so that when I drive into Malibu to go to my home, I will not be pulled over or otherwise viewed as suspect in this neighborhood. And the L.A. County Sheriff said, thank you. It's a good thing you did that because I was ready to draw down on you right now. And he said, well, you're welcome. So you see, it is a reality to the point where a guy introduces himself to his local police so that they'll know he belongs in the neighborhood that he's in. You understand? Now, I get it about cops and how, you know, there's the cops are the great dividing line almost in this society. There's those that are for, those that are against, and it seems like some people will always be against and some people will always be for. I'm not saying these cops did anything wrong. I do agree that Obama opened his big fat trap when he shouldn't have. You know, a lot of people are saying, Henry, what is it with you and Obama? You're always kissing his ass. No, I'm not. When he screws up and he's been stepping it a lot lately, I'll say it. He shouldn't open his yap because he's the president. Some people are going to say, well, you know, he is black. I understand he's black, but guess what? Now he's president, so now he ain't black no more. What do you think of that?
How do you say not black no more?
Because he ain't. Just like if you're a white president, you ain't white no more. The last white president we really had was Nixon. I don't know, but in any event, the story is a police sergeant who responded to the 9/11 call about a possible break-in at a home of black Harvard scholar Henry Louis Gates can be heard calling Gates uncooperative during a radio communication with a police dispatcher. That's one of the bits of news that came out today. That other bit of news that came out today was some of the black police officers in the area, a patrolman's association, are standing by the story of the white officer. It would appear that things transpired professionally from the standpoint of the police. And while there are those tempted to say, okay, story is over, case closed, I don't necessarily want to do that. All I want to say is that it's a reality that black people get pulled over by cops because they're black. Now, I know this guy's an older guy, and he may belong to that Jeremiah Wright mentality, you know, where every cat that's white is a potential, you know, jackball. And he may belong to that Jeremiah Wright mentality, which is, I got to stay pissed at Whitey no matter what, because even if things get great, I got to stay pissed because I don't know what else to be. I can't, you know, there's nothing else that I can relate to. And you know, it's my whole identity is wrapped up in that stuff. I understand that there's that going on as well. But understand something else, folks. You know, you're going to hear a lady on a phone here. She's going to be calling 911, and she's calling in because she thinks some cats are breaking in. Now, this guy is a professor. I don't know who he's dressed like. But if I see an older white man, for instance, trying to bust into a house, an older white guy trying to bust into a house, the first thing that comes to my mind is, looks like he's locked out or, you know, if I see an older black guy trying to bust into a house, naturally I'd call the police. And that's, I'm kidding.
Oh, man, are you kidding me or what?
I'm joking. No, I wouldn't. However, it is a temptation. All right, so anyway, let's get to this. This is Lucia Whalen is the lady's name. She calls 911 to report a potential break-in. And these are some of the new phone calls that have just been released by the police. Vol.
Tell me exactly what happened.
I don't know what's happening. I just had standing here, and she had noticed two gentlemen trying to get in a house at that number, 17 Ware Street. And they kind of had to barge in, and they broke the screen door, and they finally got in. And when I had looked, I went further closer to the house a little bit after the gentlemen were already in the house. Uh-huh. I noticed two suitcases.
Oh.
So I'm not sure if these are two individuals who actually work there, I mean, who live there.
You think they might have been breaking?
I don't know, because I have no idea.
You think the possibility might have been there? What do you mean by badged in? Did they kick the door in?
Did they badge in?
No, they were pushing the door in, like, like the screen part of the front door was kind of like cut.
How did the door itself with the lock?
I didn't see a key or anything because I was a little bit away from the door, but I did notice that they
pushed their... And what do they have to do with anything?
I don't know. I'm just saying that's what I saw.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they're coming back from vacation. Maybe they live there and these are suitcases. They're trying to get into their house. You ever thought about that? Well, I don't know. Anyway, the lady is now pushed to describe the race of the people she saw breaking into the house, which is necessary for police officers responding.
I don't know if they live there and they just had a hard time with their key, but I did notice that they kind of used their shoulder to try to barge in. And they got in. I don't know if they had a key or not, because I couldn't see from my angle. But, you know, when I looked a little closely, that's when I saw...
Hispanic.
Are
they still in the house?
They're still in the house, I believe, yeah.
Are they one black or Hispanic?
Well, there were two larger men. One looked kind of Hispanic, but I'm not really sure. And the other one entered, and I didn't see what he looked like at all. I just saw her from a distance, and this older woman was worried, thinking someone's breaking in someone's house, they've been barging in.
All right, now here is Sergeant James Crowley. He tells the dispatcher that Gates is not being cooperative. Now, this is this audio is edited in part to take out long portions of the radio silence. However, you're going to get the gist of this.
Well, the gentleman says he resides here. Non-cooperative, but keep the cars coming.
Copy.
Can you also start the Harvard University police this way?
We can send him in.
52
of 12. Buddy White, is he
answering?
I have an idea of Henry Louis Gates. Giving you the name of the resident, Henry Louis Gates Jr.
No, I'm
the Harvard property.
Sir, can you repeat?
Florida Control. Do we have the wagon coming to this location?
So the wagon.
Wagon.
17 Ware Street.
Copy.
All right. So late last week, the president tried to clarify his remark. He said that the Cambridge police were basically stupid.
I don't know, not having been there and not seeing all the facts, what role race played in that. But I think it's fair to say, number one, any of us would be pretty angry. Number two, that the Cambridge police acted stupidly in arresting somebody when there was already proof that they were in their own home. And number three, what I think we know separate and apart from this incident, is that there is a long history in this country of African Americans and Latinos being stopped by law enforcement disproportionately.
All right. That's not him clarifying anything. That was his original comment. Later on, he tried to clarify, saying that, you know, he shouldn't have called it stupid. I think we've got it. And it doesn't make any difference. The cops were doing a good job. Mr. Gates was reacting to cops questioning his presence in his own home. And he was reacting angrily. And I don't necessarily fault him either. To be honest with you, I mean, right there, you've got, there it is, baby. There's where we live. I don't know what people are worried about. Everything's got to be either this or either that. Either you're on this side or you're on that side. Either the, you know, the cops are right or the guy, oh, he's a racist. Gates is a racist. He's crying. The cops are, you know, brutal. The cops are all racist pigs, you know. And we never want to see any of the subtleties or any of the inference, the, you know, the colors, the textures.
What are you doing, redecorating a room?
Will you get out of here, man? Redecorating a room. So, the fact is, this cat had a... I'd be pissed off, too.
What are you doing here?
I live here.
All right, can I see some ID?
Yeah, what's the problem? Well, somebody saw you pushing in the door. Oh, here you guys go again, man, because I'm black. I've got no problem with this Gates guy, okay? I got no problem with the cops, either. I got a problem with Obama opening his big flapping yap. I heard, you know, there's so many people I don't have time to play it for. They're saying, well, he has a right to comment. No, excuse me. The President of the United States is a legal officer. He is representing the executive branch of the government, which within lies the Justice Department. He is an officer of the legal branch of the government. No, he ain't got a right to talk about any case that is still being investigated and is still up in the air, okay? When Nixon opened his big fat yap about Manson, they almost had a heart attack trying to clear that one up. The President of the United States should wait and see what's going on before he opens his yap. But Gates, I don't fault Gates at all. He's in his own house. Cops are hassling him. I don't fault the cops. This is the country we live in right now. Everybody's wrong, everybody's right, if that's the way you want to look at it. I think they're both right. I think the only guy that should have shut up was Obama. And that's coming from a guy who's been taking a lot of heat for backing him up and defending him. Me and Rick Sanchez, who is one of my close personal friends. We'll be right back at a world-famous Phil Henry show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. A mother decapitates and eats her child. And Robert Gibbs calls Obama's birth certificate story nonsense. World-famous Phil Henry show. We have Bobby Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association and Larry Grover together. Mr. Grover from Conservatives of Kern County will be talking about the Obama birthing controversy. I just saw Lou Dobbs weighing in last week. I say weighing in as if there was something of import to say. Lou is saying, I don't know what Lou's doing anymore. I think Lou's just now Lou's treading water trying to beat Rick Sanchez, and there ain't nothing there to beat, you know. I think Lou is like going up against Rick, and Rick's going up against what? The puppy bowl. So it's not really Lou. You know, you got to set your sights a little higher. And as far as the Obama birth certificate thing goes, you and Bugliosi, you know, our very close personal friend, Vincent Bugliosi, is a nice man. And Vincent Bugliosi will long be, in my opinion, the guy that put Manson away. He has already, as they say, made his bones. You know, he has already established his name in history. So anything he says about George Bush being a war criminal or Cindy Sheehan being the next best thing to Mother Cabrini, you know, I wouldn't say you're a little cuckoo there, Vince. You're a good guy, but, you know, get out, maybe go to the zoo or something. Okay, so there's that. Lou, you're flipping your lid with that Obama birther story. Get off of that and move on to anything, man. I don't care what it is. You know, they're not picking my trash up on Wednesdays. You want to start with that story? That. By the way, I got my car back, and
how's it look?
It looks fantastic. Even though they rolled a garbage can into it, it just looks fantastic. The guys pounded it out, and I didn't see a dent. I didn't see anything. So I was charged for a new panel, but they actually pounded it out, and that's how dumb I am. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Rob in Bloomington, Illinois. Rob, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What do you got to say tonight, man?
Hey, good morning, Phil, or good afternoon. Or
how are you? Yeah.
Love the show. I just want to let you know that I'd heard someone make a comment at some point that the Cambridge police, whenever they went to investigate the break-in, they said that he was possibly, or he was being unreasonable with the police, but that they had every reason to try to go into the house and just make sure everything was okay on the inside as well as the outside, because they didn't know that, you know, there's every possibility that there could have been someone inside of the house to telling him to be quiet on the outside. And
well, the original reason for them to go out there is somebody saw them trying to get into the house. They wouldn't have been out there had a neighbor not seen these men trying to enter the residence.
Yeah. I just think that they were being precautious. I know I probably got a little escalated, but I just think it's kind of the whole
I don't think there's anything wrong with – I don't think the cops did anything wrong, but I don't have any problem with Gates getting pissed off either, because this is the reality, and people don't understand that, and that's all right. Gates wants to get wound up about it. All right, man, thanks for your call. Let's move on here. We got John in Nashville, Tennessee. John, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What's on your mind tonight, man?
Well, Miles is going to make the point that the cops were acted unconstitutionally as far as arresting Gates. The reason being is now the Fourth Amendment War Clause, one of the exceptions to that is matters of exigency, means someone might be hurt. Now, given they were already wrong in going on information not from someone who eyewitnessed it, but someone who heard from someone who eyewitnessed it, that was bad enough. But once they went in, they realized everything's fine, no one's hurt, there's no crime in progress, this is this person's domain. Their response should have been, I'm sorry, sir, sorry I wasted your time, goodbye. Not, I'm going to arrest you because I feel like you trump my authority. At that point, they realized there was no crime in progress. They were uninvited in someone's house with no warrant and no constitutional basis.
The fact that they responded. No, you're wrong about the first part. They have every right to investigate if they have information that there may be a crime being committed. They have every right to do that. However, I would agree with the second part. Once they established residence, yeah. I don't understand why this guy was hauled in. So I do, you know, understand him being pissed off. I'm sorry the president had to open up his yap. And somebody needs to remind the American people that every time a president opens his yap about something, especially a legal case, a legal pending case, there's a problem, folks. President is not supposed to say anything. Even if he isn't a lawyer, he ought to act like one. All right, we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming back with more tonight, we've got Robert Gibbs.
Phil Hendry.
And that birther bullcrap.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Our number is 1-800-44... What the hell, I'm giving the old number, bud.
Yeah, it's right here.
877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. And right now we're going to talk about the woman that killed her newborn infant and then ate the brain. And we are doing this story because it's garnered a lot of interest, particularly in one of the cities that were hurt in, San Antonio, because this is where it took place. It's a disgusting story. It's vile. It is, I can't even imagine. It's madness, compounded by madness. Something right out of a Dr. Michael Stone episode, you know, on Most Evil. We're going to have Dr. Stone on, bud.
Yeah, he's going to talk about that, and then David Hall is going to call up with some ideas.
What?
Yeah, he's going to call.
David Hall going to call an idea.
I didn't know anything about David Hall calling with ideas. Here is the story. A woman charged with murdering her three-and-a-half-week-old son used a knife and two swords to dismember the child and eight parts of his body, including his brain, before stabbing herself in the torso, slicing her own throat, etc., according to police on Monday. Audie Sanchez is a 33-year-old woman in San Antonio. She's charged with capital murder and the death of her infant son, Scott Wesley Buchholz Sanchez. She was recovering from her wounds at a hospital, was being held at $1 million bail. Obviously, they're going to want to put this woman in a rubber suit, then throw her into a rubber room, and then ask themselves, why are we doing that? And just throw her into a concrete room with a whole bunch of shoelaces, you know. In any event, San Antonio Police Chief, I understand she's sick, and I guess that's how you have to treat her. San Antonio Police Chief William McManus said the early Sunday morning attack occurred a week after the child's father had moved out. Audie Sanchez's sister and her sister's two children, ages 5 and 7, were in the house, but none were harmed. San Antonio Police Chief William McManus here graphically details what Audie Sanchez did to her 3.5-week-old son. And, you know, I would tell you, please don't listen to this if you are a sensitive type of person, and I totally understand why you wouldn't want to. He does get into some detail here.
There were some unspeakable atrocities associated with this crime that you just don't see all that often. You know, in this business, you just simply don't see it all that often.
I hate to ask, can you elaborate?
Okay. Well, the mother mutilated the body. She ate portions of it in addition to the mutilation. And apparently spent a fair amount of time doing it. There were body parts missing that she had ingested. She had opened up the child's head, and you know, it's too heinous for even me to describe it any further than I just have.
Here is the chief. He's commenting on how the first respondents, the police officers and the medical personnel who responded, how are they dealing with this? Because they need, obviously, in some cases, you know, some counseling.
The officers, the first responding officers that were there in the scene, are they undergoing treatment, psychological, and counseling, mental treatment?
There are a few officers who have had some issues since that scene, and you know, the treatment is there for them, and we'll see that they get it. But again, normally you don't see a scene of this magnitude in terms of its. Of the atrocity in this business. You don't see it all that often. And when you do, it certainly leaves a lasting impression.
Here is Chief McManus commenting on, apparently this woman Sanchez confessed.
Chief, when you said she admitted to the murder, was that there at the scene when she said, I killed my baby, or something that happened later?
I believe it was a spontaneous utterance, both, and then later on she also, during an interview, confessed.
And again, she said the reason was to hear voices.
Yes.
This is really gruesome. And they said that the police officers barely spoke to each other as they went through the house. You could hear a pin drop. And what are you going to say? David G. Hall is joining us now on our newsmaker line. He is the vice president of syndication for the show. David, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing good. Bill, I heard what you said to Bud. I didn't know whether or not you had gotten my note, but I wanted to go through some of the ideas that we had to, capitalize a little bit the comedic value of this story. I hate to come on the...
Excuse me?
I hate to come on your program and say it on the air because I thought Bud had passed you the notes that I'd made on some of the skits you could do around this story.
The skits I could do around this story?
That's what I said, yeah.
What do you mean the skits I could do? This is a gruesome murder.
Mike, I don't know how to read the news. You want to start a fight on the air? I've got Dr. Jim Sadler. He's with me here at the carnival. We're in South Pasadena. We took our daughters, and he's here, as you know. He's the guy you hung up on last week.
What has this got to do with the story I'm doing right now?
Whoa, there, sunshine. Whoa, man. I'm trying to tell you about some comedic value.
There's no comedic value in a story like this. None whatsoever, David. I'm shocked that you'd ask me.
I've got Dr. Sadler. I had sent in some...
This is the guy that I hung up on.
Hold on for a minute. Let him say. This is what he did. I sent in some sketch comedy, and I wanted some people to give me some respect to the phone. We'll talk about this after the show, because apparently what you were intent on doing is losing your job.
I'm not going to lose my job. You're going to get fired by the company if you keep on with this comedic value.
Are you kidding me or something, man? This thing is screaming for a bit.
I wrote, Mr. Hendry, I sent you an email. Did you get my email? And it was based on a Laurel and Hardy sketch.
Get out of here, both of those guys.
You hung up on David Hall, he'll be mad.
I don't give a crap if he's going to be mad. Are you nuts or something? Why would you put that call through?
Because he's the man in charge of the show and everything.
You're an idiot. You know that, man? Comedic value.
But you know what? Opie and Anthony do it.
Good for Opie and Anthony. Yeah, Opie and Anthony do that. They had two people screwing in a Catholic church, too. That really helped them out, man. All that did was shut down a whole radio station. Opie and Anthony would do it.
Well, anyway, I'm the guy that's got a guild hall now because you hung up on him, and I got him a half a deal with it.
Well, you know what? Earn your money and deal with it then.
Come on, man. Get out of here. What are you doing?
Get him out of here. Thank God I've got that, thank God I've got the security here. I forget his name.
My name's Robert.
Yeah, thanks, Robert. Let's go to a phone call here. We got Don in Worcester, Massachusetts. Don, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's on your mind tonight, sir?
Hey, sir. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
About the police entry into the home, right? I gave you two incidents. At one time, a family thought this child was in my home. So the police came to my house. They wanted to know if the child was in my home. I told them no. They said, we need to come in and look around. I told them, you get a warrant, you're more than welcome to come in and look around. It's my home. I don't care if they're in an investigation or not. It's my home. And so
They came in anyway, didn't they?
No, they didn't.
They didn't?
No, they didn't.
All right. Then they did not believe that you were harboring anybody.
No. Now I'll give you another incident.
See what I'm... No, hold on for a minute. Hold on for a minute. They didn't come into your house because if they really believed you were holding somebody and they felt that there was imminent danger, they would have come into your house, regardless of a warrant.
No, they wouldn't.
Yes, they would.
I was a cop for 8 years. No, they wouldn't.
Well, are you trying to tell me that as a police officer and you know that somebody is inside of a house, you know someone is inside of a house and you think that that person is being held hostage, you're not going to go in and rescue that person?
It's not that you're going to rescue that person. You better have good cause to go in that
house. Yeah. Right. But if you have good cause in your mind, you're not going to go into that house. Of course you are.
I give you another incident.
Okay.
Just recent. One of my neighbors called the police.
Yeah.
They heard one of my children say, you just hit me with a bat.
With a baseball bat.
With a bat. It was one of the little plastic baseball bats. But this is what they heard. You hit me with a bat. So the cops come to they come to my house. And they told me, well, we need to come in and talk to your children. I told them, no.
Right.
I will bring my children down here, and you can talk to them on my doorstep. You will not come in my house. They do
and
not
they found out it was
no right. They just come in my house. And I could have refused to speak to my children because I always have the right. My Miranda, no matter what the situation is, my Miranda rights always stand.
Now, if you hit the kids that's with a plastic bat, it probably wouldn't have been bad.
Pardon me?
So what did the cops the cops then said, okay, not a problem, you hit the kid with a plastic bat, we're fine with that, and they left, or what?
No, that's
the
assumption. That's the assumption that was drawn.
That's what I would have done.
Right?
But I would have done that. I would have.
You just drew
you have every right to hit that.
No, yeah. You just drew an assumption that I hit my child. Right. Right? Yeah.
Well, if that's the kid, I'm assuming that if it was a plastic bat, as a father, I would have thought that was a good thing. I'm kidding. So I'm assuming that somebody said they heard the kid got hit with a bat. Exactly. So, right. Now, if they come to the door and they see a kid bludgeoned, and there's a bloody baseball bat lying next to the kid, can they come in then, or are they supposed to? What are they going to do then?
I told them I would.
They still can't come in.
I will bring the children out to him.
So you drag the body outside, and then
in this country, my Miranda rights always stand. I have the right to representation in any
situation. So what you're telling me is, if I'm a cop and I come to the door and I see a bloody body with a bloody baseball bat next to it, I have to wait for you to call your lawyer to get down there, and then I can go in and drag the body outside.
I have that right.
Okay. All right, sir, thanks so much. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL.
Are you kidding me?
That's what he said, man. If the kid, I could come to the door. His police officer, I see there's a bloodied body and a bat and the head's decapitated. You can't come in here. No, 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 no. And I'm going to call my lawyer. And then Charlie comes down. He's got a three-piece suit on and a big, you know, maybe a carnation in his lapel. And he's a fast-talking Southern guy named Jewel or something. And then finally you can go into the house and check to see if there's any life in the body, even though the head is sitting on a mantelpiece. Okay, that's great. I'm kidding around, sir. Maybe you didn't get the whole story. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Wow.
Man, I tell you that, I'd go in the house there and I'd see the head decapitated. I'd see the body dead.
Of course you're going to go into the house. Well, we're back here, baby. It's Monday night. Coming up, by the way, As You Like to Hear Them, we'll have Rick Sanchez on our airways, As You Like to Hear Rick, and he'll explain why he's all agog and aghast and all a Twitter over his ratings, which are now higher. My understanding is they are higher than the Mrs. Fields cookie show there on the Food Network, so he's really, kicking ass. Sarah Palin has resigned, as you know, officially. She's gone, and we're going to tell you what we think of that. And not that it's any big news, but as much as I have decried the criticism of this woman, it finally occurred to me today. Maybe I'm slow. It's like, wait a second, man. This chick has got some credibility, and she's quitting on a job. Yes, I'm rethinking that whole thing, man. And then coming up, we have the Sanchez story, and John Travolta apparently is scared to leave the Church of Scientology. I don't understand why. We'll be back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
That's Mexican. Okay. Roger.
Phil Hendry.
Hey, you know, if you go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com, you can actually watch the show as well as listen to it. If you are in an area where you don't get the Phil Henry Show, you don't have an affiliate in your area, you can hear our show on live streaming audio crystal clear. It is just par excellence, baby, the optimum in listening pleasure and enjoyment. And you can also download the show the next day because we have it available on demand. You can download everything on our website, as a matter of fact. fine with us, so long as you know, pay to get in, man. Once you pay the fee, you can come in and do anything you want, within reason. But you can also watch the show. We have live streaming video right now of the show, and people all over, I don't know, all over. I mean, God knows, I don't even want to think. It scares me to think of where people are watching the show. And you can watch us on live streaming video. So if you go over to www.philhendryshow.com, every night you can watch it. And that will be available on demand just as soon as we figure out how to shut Ralph and Jason up long enough not to have them on the audio feed, because I'm kidding, guys. You know I am. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. Let's take some phone calls here. We have coming up The World According to Bobby Dooley. She'll be weighing in on the Obama birthing situation. Larry Grover from what's the name of it again?
Citizens of the Kern.
Yeah, Kern people.
Okay, that's, forget it. It's conservatives of Kern County. That's what it is. Coming up in just a minute, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call we have on the line here. Anthony in San Antonio, Texas. Anthony, listening to us on KPWT. How are you doing? Thank you for calling us, sir. What's on your mind? Yes, sir.
I wanted to speak on behalf of that. I'm from San Antonio, man, and that case with that insane lady has been all over the news everywhere you look, man. And
I'll bet,
If you're coherent enough to admit to the actual, you know, situation, you're coherent enough to get lethal injection, man. I think
that's right.
That, you know what I mean? Like, it's just
absurd. Yeah.
I have an infant of my own, and I don't know. I just can't understand why you would do something so stupid. And
well, I mean, it's possible. It is possible, and we got to find out, man. She admitted to doing it. She did not admit that she knows whether it's right or wrong, and that's key in the legal definition of sanity. There are plenty of people who are psychotic and do crazy crap like that.
Exactly.
But it has to be established. If she knew what she was doing was wrong, then her legal defense for, you know, insanity is out the window. But if she truly was so disoriented and so, you know, depersonalized that she didn't know, she's a nutcase. I don't know, man. And you know, here's the thing that's kind of heavy about this, Anthony. It's possible in this day and age of pharmacology, man, that woman has a biochemical breakdown in her brain that could be fixed through medication. Now, what do you do if suddenly you give her the right pill or give her the right treatment and suddenly her mind is working properly again, you know? I don't know. You know, I don't know what the answer to that is. I mean, I would think that it's an insane act. No, you can't even imagine anybody with any possession of their wits doing something like that. So I got to believe she's got some screw loose someplace, maybe a couple.
In which case, I got
a problem putting somebody to death if they're like that. See?
Yeah, but if you want to kill an infant, like, I don't know, I just put that on a different level of insanity, you know? So I don't know. I just think she should receive it and be done with it and get on with her lives. You know what I mean?
Really? Just kill her? Yeah. What if they had her strapped into the electric chair and a guy ran in with a pill and said, "No, wait, this will fix her."
Ha ha.
That won't work? All right.
I don't know.
No. I'll tell you, if they found in her drawer, like, she was working on a cure for male pattern baldness and they killed her and they said, "Look at this, we just butchered her and she was going to make hair grow." All right, man. Thanks. I'm being stupid, but I appreciate what you're saying. And it's mental, man. It's way out there, man. Yeah, it's a sick, twisted thing. And when we have Dr. Stone on, you know, he always makes a difference, man, between a psychopath and a psychotic. Thanks for your call, Anthony. And a psychotic is somebody who is mentally diseased. You know, the biochemical balance in their brain is so far off that literally schizophrenics can be cured if they're pharmacologically treated, right? And some schizophrenics are violent. But a psychopath is completely sane. They just dig killing people. They know it's illegal. They know it's wrong. They know if they get caught, they'll go to jail. They just dig doing it. Those bastards, I say, you know, hang him high, baby. You know, what was that movie we saw the other night?
Yeah, they hang the guy high with a rope burn on his neck.
That's what I say, man. You know, from a tree, Jack. 877-876-PHIL is the number. Here we go to Scott in Atlanta. Scott, what's on your mind tonight? Thanks for calling.
Hey, Phil, it's Scott. Man, it's good to talk to you. I've never called you before, but been a huge fan for 6 years. And
you're a nice man. Thanks.
Well, thank you. It's when you went off the air a year or so back, I got a backstage pass so we could keep listening online to the old archives.
Oh, that's cool. Thanks.
Great source of entertainment. But I was calling tonight as a police officer to maybe clear up some of the questions about whether or not
they had the right to enter the home and those type of things.
Right.
First off, I'm just like you, Phil, and I mean, I have been, ever since this happened a week ago, I have really had a time because I can't find anybody that doesn't seem to take sides. I don't take sides with anybody in this thing either, buddy. What's driving me crazy is we've got a Harvard professor, an educated man. We've got a police officer, a veteran officer that's a sergeant, and we've got a president of the United States. And not one of those three men could have the integrity and the discernment to actually keep this thing from escalating and handling it like a professional. You know, the officer had every right to go into the man's home. He had every right to investigate. But what's bothering me is at any point, those two professionals could have backed off and it never had to escalate that far.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing about America. It's just more than just the facts as they present themselves. There's a whole history of race relation in this country that we have
Absolutely.
Taken into consideration. The president is the guy that I'm disappointed with. He should have kept his fat mouth shut. I can't say that enough times. You're the president. Shut up. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show. Bobby Dooley still to come.
Phil Hendry.
Woo-hoo!